So today, if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles open, we'll get started. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be doing verses 13 through 20. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version. But while you're turning there, I have a couple funny New Year's resolutions that people have put out there before. So the first one we have, I will drive nicer on the way to church, or at least remove my little metal Jesus fish so I can drive like a maniac in the church parking lot once the sermon is over. I will not use "let me pray about that" as a synonym for no when someone asks me to do a favor. I will not skip church when I realize that today is a guest speaker, which you guys are doing great, by the way, on that one so far. And if Adam had a resolution, it would probably be something like eat less fruit next year. So a little kind of backstory with this, passage. This is coming at the end of a long line of teachings from Jesus in Galilee. So they're kind of getting tired. They're finishing up. So right now it's just Jesus and his disciples as they're going through this. So starting in verse 13, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom and of the heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one he was the Christ. God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before everyone and deliver the message that you have put on my heart. I pray that you are with me throughout this time and that I speak your words and not mine. In your name we pray. Amen. So, another interesting thing about this passage, this is the first time in the Bible that Jesus has been declared as the Messiah. He's been declared as Jesus and other things throughout the other passages, but this is the first time that he's ever been given the responsibilities and the duties of the Messiah. I thought that was pretty cool because it shows how much weight is coming with who they are saying he is. So another thing is that Jesus' question here has many different layers to it. The disciples took it as the first layer of, who do people say I am? Who am I to everyone? But Jesus had a little bit deeper in there. He wasn't really caring about what everyone else said. He wanted to see how the disciples felt. If the disciples really truly understood who they were following and who they were giving their time to. And it's interesting because this is the only one in Matthew where Jesus uses the Son of Man. Every time that this account is talked about in other books, it's always said that Jesus uses the word I instead. Who do people say I am? Instead of who do people say the Son of Man is? Again, leaving it open for more interpretation for the disciples. Kind of leaving them with more of a question of, do you truly understand what is going on here? A phrase we hear a lot around the new year is new year, new me. Have you guys heard that one before? We always focus on what we want to do to improve ourselves throughout this year. But what if what we're wanting to improve isn't what God's wanting us to improve? What if God has a different plan for our year and a better plan for our year? So our first point here is that we have our own view on how we think things should be, but God has a better plan. So we get in verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the middle of all of this questioning that Jesus is giving the disciples, he gives Peter his purpose. That he is going to build, be the rock that Jesus is going to build the church on. And then, not only that, he then strengthens it with, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, I don't know about you, but I like to have things in my control. I don't like to give up control of things. I feel less secure about it, and I don't like being told what to do and when to do it. I like to do what I want, when I want to do it, and do it my way. And it's hard to be able to give up that control because it's our safe place. It's my safe place. And it's something that is a big struggle. But when we follow what God has for us, it'll lead to greater things than we ever thought we could never reach. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace who brought again from the deed our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Sheep really can't do stuff on their own. If sheep were left alone, they would wander, they would stray away, and eventually possibly fall off a cliff. And in this passage, we're said that we are the sheep and Jesus is our shepherd. The shepherd plays a huge role. They keep the sheep safe, they keep the sheep going where they need to go, and they keep the sheep doing what they need to do. It's the same thing in our lives. Jesus is our shepherd. We need to keep our eyes on him, because if we follow what we want to do, we're not going to get to where we need to go. We're going to end up just walking around in circles, not knowing what's going on. Jeremiah 29:11, very popular verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope in the future." Again, it's showing here that God's plans for us are much better than our own plans for us. God's plan is looking years down the road, what we might not see, while ours is thinking, in this time, what helps me right now? So, New Year's resolutions, it could be getting healthier, losing some weight. Yeah, that's good, but where's that going to get you? You're going to become obsessed with it, possibly, and it's going to end up controlling you. Not every time, not every person will be like that, but some people will, it'll become their life. And it'll take them down a path that really they didn't plan to go down. But when you follow God's plan, it says that our body is our temple. Body's a temple. We're supposed to take care of it. And if we focus on God and focus on what he has for us, we'll end up achieving that goal without even thinking about it, because we're following what God has for us and what he wants us to do. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is kind of where that video comes in. We have to make a complete choice to give it up to God. Because if we don't make the decision, we do make the decision. Because if we decide not to give it to him, we're deciding to keep it to ourselves instead. And that's a tough one to really swallow, because we think, oh, I'm not making the decision, I'll make it later. But that's something that's just going to keep getting pushed off more and more and more and more until it's eventually too late. So our second point today is that only God can reveal it to us, and he will reveal it to us, meaning our purpose or our plan that he has for us. Matthew 16:17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus is saying right here that Peter cannot come to this decision on his own. God had to reveal it to Peter who Jesus really was. So how did God reveal that to Peter? How was Peter able to come to that conclusion? By spending time with Jesus. So for me, my calling happened in my senior year. My plan going into my senior year was actually to join the military. And I went to youth convention. It was normally in the beginning of November, and it was the first night in worship. I feel someone tap on my shoulder. Kind of threw me off for a second, turned around, and the words that the guy spoke to me were, I don't know if you know this or not, but God is calling you into full-time ministry. And that kind of just sunk with me the rest of the night. That's all I could think about, was that calling. Because I thought I had my life figured out. I thought I knew what I was going to do. But God had a different plan. And that was the time that he revealed it to me. So God's plan could be more complex than we could ever think of. So a saying that I've heard a couple years back, and I love it, is that we're trying to play checkers while God is trying to play chess. Chess is one of the most complex and hardest games to master because it's constantly evolving, constantly more and more is happening. People are getting better, competition's getting better, and you're always having to try to think of what the other person's trying to do. So when you're playing, you're not only trying to think of your next several moves, but your opponent's next several moves, your opponent's strategy, what they're thinking, everything that they're doing with this game, you're trying to predict. And how comforting is it feeling knowing that God has mastered that game of chess? No one could ever beat him. No one could even come close to beating him in that game. And he has already thought of every single possible outcome in our lives. And he knows exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen for us to get to that point. So the next question we could have is, how will he reveal it to us? How will he reveal our plan for our lives to us? Well, there really isn't an answer to that because everyone's different. I can't say that it'll be like me where God will use someone to come up to you and tell you what he has planned for you. Sometimes it can be in your own personal life, your personal study time with God. You're reading through the scripture, you're praying, and he lays something on your heart. And sometimes when it happens, you might doubt it at first. Oh, that's just the pizza I just ate. Kind of having a little bit upset stomach, don't really know what I'm doing. But if God's laid something on your heart, it's not going to go away. It's always going to stay there. So if it is that small feeling, a good thing to do is to press into it, pray about it. Talk with God. Is this what you have for me? And it's a good thing to kind of go after it. Not just say, okay, this is what I have. Well, what's next? What am I supposed to do? If you follow what his plan is, he'll reveal those steps to you. So we also can see in the Bible that God reveals his voice or his plan sometimes through even a verbal voice. We see Samuel in the Old Testament. He's kind of sleeping, and here's Samuel. Runs over. You called? No. Two more times. And then finally catches on. God, I am here. What do you need? He realizes that God is trying to get to him. God's trying to talk to him, and he's opening himself up to what God has. Again, making that decision to follow what God is calling him to do. So these aren't all the ways either that God can talk to us. God has infinite ways that he can reveal to us what our plan, what his plan for us is. And that's where we have to be open and make that decision. This year, I am going to make sure I try to follow your plan. Because when we make that decision, it allows him to talk to us. It allows him to tell us his plan and to work through us. Amos 3:3-7 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall into the snare of the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in the city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. We see right here that God will reveal his plan to us. It's not some mystical thing that we can never know, but God will do. No, he will reveal his plan to us. He wants us to know what his plan is. That way we can follow through with it and we can walk through with him. Because how good is it if we're walking through life blindfolded? We're not going to know where we're going. We're not going to know what we need to do. And just like the sheep, we could fall off a cliff. So God wants us to know his plan for us. He wants us to know what is going on. That way, we can give all of ourselves to what he has and follow through with it. And that brings us to our third point, that nothing can stop us when we follow God's calling. We see here in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God has given us the power. And when we follow through with what he has, just like that last song said, he is there with us. He is fighting with us. He is fighting for us. It's not he's sometimes there, or if we need him, he's there. If we're having a hard time, he's there. He's always there, through the good, through the bad, through the ugly, through everything. So, knowing this, it's still hard sometimes to follow God's plan, because once again, we like to know that everything is in control. And if we can't see it, it's hard to follow through with it. So when Liz and I were getting ready to move up here, we kind of knew we needed to be moved. We were moving up here because she had to go to school, but we really didn't know anything else that was going on. We kind of had to take this leap of faith saying, okay, we know we're supposed to be here. Everything's going to fall into place now. And it was scary because we moved up here and we knew we were coming to this church, but I still didn't have a job. And moving up to an area, no source of income, but still having to get through everything while she's at school is scary. And of course, following God's plan, he provided great job that takes care of everything for us. So, one thing we need to remember is that when God puts a plan into motion, he will always follow through with it. Sometimes it might not be on our timetable, but as we said before, God knows when everything needs to happen. And we'll make sure that everything happens when it needs to happen. And another thing is that God's plan or calling on our life will not always be easy. There will be struggles that come with it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We always think of troubles as bad. But right here, we see hard times are good. Hard times make us better. They make us stronger. They make us closer with each other. Because when we go through a hard time, we can't really depend on ourselves to get through it. There's two people that we need to depend on. One is God, and the other is those who are around us. Because those who are around us might have already gone through what we're going through. They've made it through that. They know what it's like. They can sympathize with you. They can also help you if you're wanting advice. God put them there for a reason. Again, it's his plan. It's all working out. We just have to be open to it. And you are never too old or too young to fulfill his calling. If he says it, it'll happen. Samuel was 11 years old when God first started calling him. And we have Abraham. He was 75 years old when God made him his promise. And it took 25 years till he was 100 for God to fulfill that. So we see two huge opposite spectrums, 11 and 100. Proving right there that God doesn't care about the age. He has a calling. He has a purpose for your life. And he will fulfill it. So really the big thing that we need to work on this year is to focus less on what we want and focus more on what God wants. Because when we do that, God will do things more than we could ever imagine. The worship team could go ahead and come back up. We're going to close out here. So, kind of bringing it all back together, God's plan for our life, again, is something that he will reveal to us. It's not some crazy out there thing. He wants us to be with him. And as we kind of mentioned before earlier, the way that you're able to get to this is spending time with him. The disciples, before Peter was given this realization of who Jesus was, they spent days and months with Jesus. Personal, kind of one-on-one time with him. In his presence, learning who Jesus was, learning what he was here to do, and really learning who they were through Jesus. This isn't something that will happen to you at a certain time. This isn't something that you can say, I've reached the age of 15. God's going to give me his purpose and his plan now. But instead, it's something that you make the decision right now, right where you're at, to follow his plan and to just take the steps. And as soon as you make that decision, you are following his plan and his calling. You might not know it right then exactly where it's going to take you, but you trust God that those steps that you are taking right now are taking you to that finished point. And you will not be disappointed. God's plan is perfect. God's plan is loving. It's complete. And you are protected when you're in God's plan. Because God will complete anything that he starts. He doesn't leave stuff half started, kind of walk away, do something else, and come back to it later. He's always working on it every second of every day, completing what his plan is. So this year, we need to remember, yes, we have plans for what we want to do, but the real plan that we need to focus on is what God is wanting us to do and following that plan and that calling that he has for us. Because when we follow that, we will achieve more than we ever thought we could. We will achieve what we wanted to achieve that year, plus more.